You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Rich, Chris, how you doing?
Chris, Rich here. How you doing? I'm doing
outstanding.
Well, thanks for having me.
Good to hear from you as usual. You know, Rich, listen, more than anything, it's a great story for a day or two. Mike White was just fun to watch the other day. But I do get wrapped up in fans right now getting all nuts that there's a big quarterback controversy all of a sudden and all this. To me, two things can be true at once. Mike White can continue to play until he is no longer hot, and Zach Wilson can sit for a while and watch. And I don't think there's much more beyond that. Your thoughts on this?
Well, there's really no controversy right now because, I mean, Zach Wilson is not healthy. You know, he's
right.
going to miss this week. He's probably not going to practice until next week. And so it's an obvious decision. You know, Mike White, of course, is going to start on Thursday night based on, you know, the way he played. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Now, where it could become controversial is if they win on Thursday, suddenly they have a two-game winning streak. If White has another good game, Wilson gets healthy next week, then you have a decision to make, and then it could be somewhat controversial. I mean, anytime you keep a second overall pick on the bench and he's healthy, I mean, that to me is controversial. I personally, and I said this right after the game, I mean, I'd keep playing Mike White. As long as he keeps playing that well, you know, why make a change? And I think Saleh handled it correctly after the game and again on Monday. He just kind of left it open-ended. I mean, why should he come out and declare, you know, oh, I'm going back to Zach Wilson as soon as he's healthy? Why, you know, why should he do that, you know, right now? There's no reason to do that. Just let it play out.
Rich, I think they've played it very well here. I really do. And listen, they never expected the other day that they were going to get what they got. But are we maybe not giving them enough credit when they said all along that they were confident in White's ability to at least be a serviceable backup?
Yeah, I mean, I think we certainly probably snickered a little bit. I mean, I have to come clean and say I think I was, you know, saying since April that they need to go out and get an experienced backup.
Me too. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think they certainly missed that and probably still do to a certain degree, you know, because Mike, for as well as he played, he certainly doesn't bring years of wisdom into the quarterback room, that's for sure. So, you know, he outplayed everyone's expectations for sure. There's no way anyone in the Jets built. I mean, the Jets cut him four times last year, Chris, and no one else picked him up. If the Jets thought he was that good, you know, they wouldn't have put him on waivers four different times to bring him back on the practice squad. So obviously they're tickled and pleasantly surprised by what happened here on Sunday. But I think they always thought he was worth developing and keeping around. But, you know, no one expected him to have a performance for the ages.
No, not in the least. Rich Domini, ESPN New York, with us. Rich, just your overall impression the other day of the team finding a way to win that game. They caught a big break, but I felt like the more important aspect of it is that they took advantage of it.
Well, to me, the key, I mean, there are a couple of, yes. First of all, the resilience of the team. I mean, that beatdown in New England was one of the worst games I've ever covered. And, you know, I've covered a lot of bad ones. I mean, you give up 54. I mean, things could go one or two ways, you know, the next week. I mean, you guys could start, you know, grumbling and packing it in, or you could come back and fight. And they came back and fought against a Bengals team that is pretty good. Now, we probably overrated them a little bit, but let's give them props. That was a good team coming in with a hot quarterback and a hot receiver, and the Jets did a really good job. So I give them credit for that. It shows the character of the team, which I think is part of this building process. You want to build character and culture, and I think that was a really good step in that direction. And the one sequence in the game that maybe we'll look back on, depending on how the year goes. But after the pick, when Elijah Moore and Denzel Mims both ran like 60 yards to chase down, I forgot he even picked it. Maybe it was Bates. Mm-hmm. And they tackled him at the 1-yard line. And then the goal line stand right after that. I mean, that is a really, really pivotal sequence that I know they've shown here in the building to the players, you know, and then film sessions. Like, this is what we're looking for. That's hustle. That's determination. You know, that's the type of sequence that could be a turning point for a young team.
Rich, when we're dealing with the team that is still in the midst of growing, and if it's not the youngest, it's top two or three in the entire league, what do you feel like is going to be more important to their development or to the team just getting better? Getting the higher pick again or actually winning games this year and building that way?
I'm always a proponent. I mean, unless you have a chance to get the first pick and is a franchise guy available like a Trevor Lawrence, I'm always in favor of the winning part. I mean, really, what's the difference between, like, if they have the sixth or seventh pick or the 11th or 12th pick? There's usually not that much of a difference. It's so important to establish a winning culture when you've been, you know, basically adrift for as long as the Jets have been. I mean, they have the longest playoff drought active in the league. We know that. So when you're in a situation like they are, winning, and you can't build a culture unless you win. You need some tangible results. You just can't talk yourself into a winning culture. It has to happen on the field. And you just feel it. I mean, in the building, the players, what they say after a win compared to a loss, the body language, the confidence level, it's so different. I wish fans could experience it like, you know, we have the privilege of doing as reporters. We're here and we see it and we feel it. And there's nothing that can replace that. And so for this team, they need to win some games. And are they going to win a lot? I don't think so. I picked them to go 5-12. They'll probably still go 5 or 6 wins. But, you know, that might be enough to get things turned in the right direction.
Rich Shimane, ESPN New York with us. The bringing in of John Beck, the personal quarterback coach of Zach Wilson, your take on that, Rich?
Weird, oddly timed. And the funny thing is, I don't even think they were going to announce it. I think they were going to keep it under wraps. If it weren't for some very perceptive fans watching on TV who saw the broadcast and saw him standing on the sideline talking to players with a headset on and tweeted it out. I mean, I know how that's how I saw it. And, you know, from the press box with our binoculars, we don't see as well as I see on TV. And once I saw that, I was able to confirm early this morning that it was, in fact, John Beck. And you know, he's going to be here for the rest of the year. And later on this afternoon, Saleh confirmed it and explained. So I don't even think the Jets were going to announce it. And, you know, they just felt like Zach ends up talking to Beck so many times throughout the regular season anyway. Why not just bring him here and put him in the building? So it's obvious, you know, they said he's going to coach the other quarterbacks as well, but we know that he's here basically to be Zach's personal coach. They have a relationship that dates a few years. Beck was very instrumental in the pre-draft pro day and orchestrating that for Wilson. So he obviously feels very comfortable. I think there's some mechanical things that they're trying to work out with Zach, and I don't know specifically what they are, but they feel Beck can help him with that. And so here he is. You know, he gave up a lucrative quarterback instruction business to spend a few months here in New Jersey to tutor one of his students. And it's interesting, like I said, and unusual.
I didn't really think it was that big of a deal, just given the circumstances of what's happened this year with the tragic passing of Greg Knapp, and then they brought in Matt Kavanaugh, and you have this younger guy that has seemingly really struggled in this system. Do you feel like this is, we need to fit Zach into what we're doing, or is it going to be more of, all right, let's accentuate what Zach does well and tailor some things around that?
No, I think this is a system offense. I think it's a system coaching staff. Saleh is on record as saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think it's pretty close to the quote, he thinks this is the greatest system in the world. I mean, that's what he has called this West Coast offense, this Shanahan / LaFleur offense. And so they have a very specific system, and they're trying to find players to plug into that system. And one of the reasons why they loved Wilson so much in the draft process is they thought he was a perfect fit for the system. And I do think he is. I mean, the play action ability, the movement skills, to be able to move the pocket with him. He does fit the system really, really well. He just has to learn how to play within it. I mean, he's playing hero ball. You know, he's trying to be Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, hasn't even been Patrick Mahomes lately, but making these spectacular off-platform throws, and he just has to play, like Robert Saleh said, play the boring football, basically like Mike White did. So I think Wilson can actually learn from watching White for a couple of games and learn to play within the structure of the system.
A couple of more here with Rich Cimini, ESPN New York. Were you surprised that the Jets did not make a deal before the deadline today, whether it was Marcus May or Mims or anyone? I mean, other than the small deal that they made for the offensive lineman.
Yeah, he could end up starting at some point, by the way, because they're obviously Greg Van Roten's been struggling at right guard, but I know where you're going with that. So they didn't make the splashy deal. I know for a fact they were getting calls from teams on Denzel Mims, and they've been consistent through the last few weeks. They've been telling teams, no, we're not going to trade him. In fact, Joe Douglas, just a short time ago, a couple hours ago, said to us in the press room, he said, we like the way Denzel has been progressing, and he has earned more playing time. So I never really thought they were going to trade Denzel Mims. I thought there was an outside chance they could trade Marcus May, but he's still due $6 million on his contract this year, and the teams they were talking to wanted the Jets to eat a large chunk of that money, much like the Broncos did with Von Miller yesterday, and the Jets didn't want to do that. So they'll play out the season with Marcus May, and then he'll be a free agent after the year, and I don't think they'll franchise him again. And today, Joe Douglas was very noncommittal about whether they're going to try to sign him long-term, which is a departure from what he'd been previously saying. He kind of left it up in the air, which was telling to me.
Last one, do you think the fact of what we were just talking about, the need to build that winning culture, winning that game the other day the way they did, do you think that played any role in not trading away a veteran or two so that it wouldn't kind of deflate out of that? In other words, well, they still don't think we're going to do anything this year, really.
You know, that is a really, really good question. I think they're weighing long-term versus short-term. And look, at 2-5, they're not in the playoff race. I mean, the Jets are not going to the playoffs this year. We know that.
No, but still wanting to win as many games as you can to continue to build that culture.
Yeah, no, I'm speculating a little bit here, but I do think, yes, I think could they have maybe dumped off Jamison Crowder to a team that was looking for, you know, the Saints were looking for wide receivers. You know, they might have been able to sell him off, but you know, he's a reliable slot receiver that helps the quarterback out. You know, and so maybe that definitely, I would say, is a good point by you. I think that could have been a factor in trying to help out their quarterbacks, whether it's Wilson or White, to be the best they can be this year. And May, even though he makes a lot of money and probably does not have a long-term future here, he does have value on defense. He's one of the few veterans they have on defense, and he knows how to get the players lined up in the secondary. So, yeah, I think you bring up a good point. Maybe that did factor in a little bit.
Well, blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while, Rich. Appreciate it, brother. Thanks.
All righty, Chris. Good talking to you.
You too. Rich Cimini, ESPN New York.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.